Hello, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer McKee. I'm so excited to have you join me each week as we explore a variety of topics around life in the greater Palm Springs area. From real estate market updates to lifestyle topics, interesting people, food and entertainment, we keep it authentic and fun. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and follow Jennifer McKee Realtor on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to keep up to date on everything happening in the Coachella Valley. Also, be sure to go to Apple Podcasts and like and leave a review for this show. I really appreciate it. And now, without further ado, let's go to this week's show. Hi, welcome everyone to my second episode. A lot has happened in the last week in our area and the world with this pandemic. And last time, everyone enjoyed having Ryan, my husband, on the podcast, and since he's my quarantine partner and he can't go anywhere, I've invited him back. Welcome, Ryan.
Help me, please. I just want freedom.
He's an introvert that, you know, you would think would love the idea of quarantine, except there's seven people in our house, so he never gets alone time or quiet time or anything like that. So he's ready to run for the hills.
I have been for 21 years.
You know, a lot of people have asked us about our tips and tricks for working from home, because we have a home office and we always work from home with kids around. And I know a lot of you guys are thrown into this unprepared. And so we're going to answer some questions that people have asked us about how we manage that and stay sane. But I wanted to give you a brief update before we dig into that. So just a few days ago, Governor Newsom, the governor of California, has included real estate agents and real estate activities as part of the essential list of to keep infrastructure, critical infrastructure, they say, moving forward. So we are all the realtors are doing a happy dance and excited that now we can work, but there's a lot of,
there's still some restrictions.
There's a lot of restrictions in place. And so we'll talk about that later, but now we can actually, find people houses and let them buy them and sell them and all that good stuff. So things are changing, and they're changing daily for everyone. Actually, you know, we're always watching the news and getting the latest updates, and I know you guys are too, so every day it's a new story. But we wanted to give you our experience of working from home. So our three older sons, two are in high school, one is out of school and headed to the Navy soon. They're gone during the day, although I think we spend more time running them around and taking things to the high school and picking them up for practices and being unpaid Uber drivers. then the little girls, the boys take a lot of time doing that. But the girls, our six-year-old twins, are at home. We homeschool them for kindergarten. And so they're home all the time. So we are used to dealing with kids and working from home.
Yeah, and I think it's important to, you know, clarify too that it's changed over time. So we homeschooled all the boys until either middle school or high school. But so for 20 years, it has seemed like we've had kids at home in some capacity where they needed some kind of attention. The girls are young, you know, they can't be left alone or whatever. We've stayed home. We've been with them. They've needed a lot of care. So it's been a long time. And every couple of years, it seems like the what worked for one kid or one group of kids doesn't work for the next group. And so we're having to constantly change. Maybe I had a job that I was working somewhere, so I was more available or I was less available, and things have changed for you. We lived in different states. So, you know, it's been a process, and it still feels like even today, what was working a month ago or 2 months ago is not working now because of the quarantine. So it's just this constant, you know, I feel like it's that controlled chaos sort of scenario where it's always bubbling of activity and things are changing and moving, and you're just trying to figure out how to kind of keep it under some kind of control. but you just know that if you let your hands off of it at any moment, it's going to explode everywhere.
Right. There's an ebb and flow to it, like you said. And what worked for one kid may not work for another. And what works for one kid right now maybe won't work in 2 weeks because life changes, emotions changes, needs changes, our schedule changes. And yes, we work from home, but I'm also just a realtor and I show homes. And so that's the time, our daily schedule is not the same every day. As much as we would like to try to make it, sometimes a person wants to see a house at a time when that's not my window where I show houses, but I just make an exception because that's their only time. And then it changes the family dynamic and the schedule. So
the thing that I've tried to remind myself of over the years, because I'm very type A, hyper-organized. I like to have a lot of structure to rebel against because I also like to have freedom. So I need structure. I need systems and organizations so that I have something to push back against to feel like I'm in charge and I have freedom. But where was I going to go with that?
But you said you're a type A personality, that you need all that.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I don't remember. Anyway. I'm sure
it was going to be so
brilliant.
Good.
Yeah, it'll really come back
to you. But yeah, like I said, our daily schedule shifts and changes. And I know that you need the same thing every day, like you said, to rebel against. But it's not the same every day around here. It's so different. And it is hard to plan even a few days in advance because you never know what client's going to need what at any given time and on any given day, and what kids' sports event got canceled or they have a sporting event that they didn't tell us about.
Yeah, what I was going to say, and it just triggered when you mentioned that stuff, but what I've tried to give myself a lot of grace on is when I have worked in office environments in the past and other jobs, it's really easy to think that being in an office or working for a large company or whatever it is somehow better work or more efficient or it's better quality or whatever. And the reality is it's not generally. I mean, most businesses are extremely disorganized. They're incredibly inefficient. I mean, there's a reason why people joke about this meeting should be an email is because, and I've been guilty of this at times too, when I've been managing large companies and groups of people, you find yourself in meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting that really is probably not necessary, but it feels productive. You think it's great, but you have wasted your time, everybody else's time, just over and over and over, and hours on top of hours. People are talking at the water coolers and they're just playing Minecraft or not Minecraft. What is it? Solitaire. On their computers, just trying to do anything to pass the time because they're miserable and they hate their job. But we think that, you know, because I got in the car and I drove somewhere and I sat in an office from 9 to 5, I'm working. And really you're not. So for me, I have to remind myself that when I'm home and I'm interrupted or I have something going on, it's not like being in an office is going to make that more efficient. It's still going to be just as many distractions and just as much chaos. Trying to learn how to manage the time that I do have. What's really important is that flow state, you know, having enough moments where you can actually get really concentrated work done and then building in time for the interruptions in the chaos. So it's hard. I mean, I try to sometimes get up earlier than everybody and find that flow state early, or maybe I'll stay up late. If I know that I'm going to need to like have an hour to just sit and write or something, I'll stay up after dinner and try to do it. But trying to do it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when I've got to go run errands and pick up the kids, and you just can't. I mean, it's just way too hard.
It's very hard. And some days I feel like I'm killing it, and other days I feel like a total failure. I think that's normal. But I know that there are hard things about working from home, definitely. But there are hard things about leaving home and working away from home in an office or wherever you're going to work. And someone told me one time, you choose your hard. And so that was part of why we structured our lives the way we have, even, you know, 19 years ago when our son was born, our oldest son, we restructured the way that we did our lives, and we were choosing our hard, basically. And we made sacrifices in order to do so, but we always wanted to be present with our kids, and we wanted to be the primary people that were pouring into their lives and teaching them, I wanted to spend more time with them than the school teacher or whatever was. So we decided that we would choose that direction, that path. And yes, there are hard things about it for sure, and sacrifices made for sure, but you choose your heart, and that's the heart that we wanted to choose at the end of the day.
And I'm always amazed at how many people think that they know how you should live your life. It kind of boggles my mind how many people seem to be, it's not necessarily an arrogance. It's just this weird, and maybe it's their own insecurities and fears and stuff that's being projected on you, but I can't tell you the number of, I can tell you. Because you've heard all the conversations, but the number of people that I'll go to lunch with or over the last 20 years or so that people feel the need to explain to you that, well, you really should consider doing this with your children or do this, or why don't you live your life this way, or why don't you make these decisions? And I think, I've seen your life. You're miserable. You're not happy. You hate your job. You wish that you had more time to do these things. You regret not having relationships with your kids. I'm pushing against the stream that everybody else is doing and trying something different. And it's already hard enough, and I already feel like I'm a failure enough. The last thing I really am interested in is your opinion on that I'm doing it wrong and I need to do it your way. Your way doesn't work any better than my way. So, like you said, finding your own heart, if it's just for us, it was a thing of when we were early married and started talking about wanting to have kids and all of those things of, what are our life goals and directions and what does that look like? We had made this decision that we wanted to kind of create a life that looked like this, had this sort of freedom and had this sort of, rhythm to it. And we've worked really, really hard to try to create it. And it's not been easy, but so is just trying to do what everybody else does. That's not easy either. And the number of people that I know whose kids graduate high school and they cry because they don't feel like they really had ever any time with the kids.
We feel like we had a lot.
We're crying of tears of joy. We're like, you're out. You're moving on. This is fantastic. But yeah, we have all these great memories and we have all these experiences with them. But what we traded were other things. Maybe it was financial security. Maybe it was, because we didn't have, big corporate jobs making a ton of money. Fancy vacations or fancy cars, whatever. We traded something else. And that doesn't mean that people who do this have to trade money for time. But it's just that...
Or that people who do, that doesn't mean their way's wrong.
Exactly. It's right for them. That's what works for them because that's what they wanted.
And maybe some of the people that are doing it differently have wonderful lives and have wonderful relationships with their kids. That works for them, and that is great. But we decided what works for us. And I just have to say, I love the fact for my 6-year-old girls that they can get as much sleep as they want. They love sleep. They get a lot of sleep. They sleep in. I don't have to wake them up at the crack of dawn, try to wrestle through the morning of getting them out the door on the school bus or dropped off at school. They just wake up and we have a slow start to the morning, and then we get a little bit of playtime, a little bit of school time, which in kindergarten, a lot of it's playtime anyway. We learn through playing, but we choose our heart and it works for us most of the time. I have to be honest though and say that there are times where I've seen my neighbors putting their kids on the school bus or dropping them off at school and thinking, oh my goodness, the freedom.
Oh yeah.
Like I envy that just a little bit, but then I remind myself, why I do what I do, and I love it. Our boys are in high or the two of our boys are in high school, public high school, and I think that was a good choice for them at that point in time, and they're thriving and loving it, and so it works. But yeah, we work from home with kids, and we try to. I feel like you're better at having a schedule that you stick to, or waking up I'm not a morning person, but you wake up early and try to get it done. And I remember reading a quote or a story or something like that about the late, great Kobe Bryant and how he had said that he, something had to give in order for him to be so successful and in shape and for his workouts and his basketball practice. And he was not going to give up time with his kids. So he did, instead of giving up time with his kids, he gave up sleep. And so he would wake up, I mean, in the wee hours of the morning to practice and get his workout in so that he could be there when they woke up and be there when they went to sleep. And I love that idea. I mean, I am so not a morning person, so that's not going to work for me in the morning. I don't know how much I'd accomplish in the morning, but that's something I've been kind of wrestling with and thinking through over the last several weeks and months, thinking about, okay, something's got to give when time is at a premium and you've got five kids and they're all needing you for something, you know, at any given moment, what's going to give? And I don't want time with my kids to be one of them. Although sometimes it does have to be, it has to be, but overall I'm trying not to let it be.
Yeah. And Kobe was obviously, you know,
disciplined,
extremely disciplined and passionate about a lot of different areas, which is, I think, one of the reasons why when after he passed, everybody started hearing all these stories about things he was involved in. And it became this like, wow, this guy had this whole other life beyond just basketball that we didn't even really know about. But there's only so many hours in the day, and most people waste an incredible amount of their time, and they're lazy and they're disorganized and they spend most of their time watching Netflix and which is, it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Live your life however you want. Who cares? But you can't be upset then when you don't accomplish certain things or start a business or do whatever it is that you want to do, because you've traded that time for something else. So, you know, I have tried really hard, and I'm not by any stretch, you know, some guru at this or a big name of any kind that anyone would probably care. But I just choose not to entertain myself with a lot of stuff. If I'm going to watch a movie, it's either something that we're doing for the family or it's an intentional kind of a thing because of the work stuff that I do. So I'm either trying to stay up to date on something that's coming out, or I'm researching something, or I'm watching a movie because it maybe pertains to a topic I'm trying to work on with a project. I never just sit around and watch TV or watch a movie.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm reading books, I'm working out, I'm, you know, all of my other interests and things. And so when I get up in the morning and I journal and I, you know, exercise and I do some different stuff, I don't start my day getting up and just scrolling through Facebook for an hour and then plop out of bed and, you know, hop in the shower and then jump in the car and drive to some office. It's amazing how much time people just blow. So I think, you know, when you actually prioritize and say, okay, hey, you know, these are some things I want to do and I'm willing to give it the time and commitment it needs, then, you know, it's amazing how much time you can find. And yeah, this really isn't like a time management podcast. There's a lot of other things that I'm pretty, you know, feel pretty, have strong convictions over about how people should be, I think, more present in the moment and be aware of like what they're doing, when they're doing it and why and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's not probably the purpose of this podcast, but everybody has their rhythm and their groove. And I think for running a home-based business, a lot of it for us is just, when one of us is running around, you're out meeting with clients, I'm home with the kids. And then if I need to be in LA or I've got something going on, then we swap and you're home. And we're constantly from day to day, we have a Google Calendar and we're tracking everybody's schedules and school activities.
We have alerts that come up.
Constantly trying to.
So I know that when Ryan has added something to the calendar, and then I put all my alerts to be a day before and an hour before to remind me again. And if he's got something and I've got something at the same time, we really try not to let that happen. Every once in a while it does. If it can happen in the afternoon or evening or on a weekend, then the older kids are here to watch the little ones, then that works. If not, then we I call my sister and see if she can watch the girls. It's very rare that that happens because we're pretty good at managing that. But every once in a while it does, and we just roll with it. But every day looks different. And when you're out with, you know, at an appointment or at work or whatever you're doing, Ryan, and I'm home with the girls, I'm trying to really be present with the family and not just work 24 hours a day. And early in my real estate career, when I was, you know, I was selling a lot of houses and I was kind of riding on that high, but I also felt the need to prove myself. And if someone texted me at 9 o'clock at night, I'm going to text them right back. If someone texted me, called me during dinner, I'm going to answer that and step away. And I mean, all the time. Now, sometimes you do have to answer that text or that call because it's super important, but I was doing that all the time, all day. I never had a moment to breathe or a break. I felt very anxious, and you can only sustain that model for so long. And so now I'm trying to really allow myself a chance to just be present in the moment and eat my dinner or whatever. And then I can get to those clients later, or I can check my emails instead of checking emails every time that one pops up on my phone. If I can try to check them just several times a day, morning, afternoon, night, or whatever it is. And that's always changing too, but I'm just trying to have boundaries and be present with the kids. Some days I'm good at that. Some days I'm not. But in the morning, after I've got the girls breakfast and got them settled with like maybe an activity, whether they're playing or coloring or whatever it may be, then I have a chance to step into my home office where I've got a really great little setup, and I can check my emails and do some of my admin work from home. And they have each other. That's what's so huge. The twins have each other, so they don't feel like I'm ignoring them because they're playing with one another. And then when they get restless and need attention, I just take a break and give them attention. And then when they're back on to something else, then I take that moment. So there are pockets through the day where you're like, this is a great moment to get something done. Let's get it done. And that's some days there's more pockets of time and other days there aren't. And you just ebb and flow, make it work.
I'm a kind of naturally grumpy, slightly moody.
Everyone who knows you says amen.
And I like structure and order, again, so I can push back against it a little bit. But, you know, I like to know that, like, okay, if I'm going to put on my calendar, I have a phone call at 1 o'clock, or I have a, you know, I need to go meet with somebody at 3 or whatever it is. I think my biggest frustration has been, especially with you with real estate, is the unpredictable nature of it a lot of times, where you might say, okay, I'm going to be an hour because I got to go meet somebody and unlock a thing and inspection, whatever it is. I shouldn't be more than 45 minutes and then I'll be home. And, you know, and maybe it's 2 hours later because something happened at the inspection, and then all of a sudden you got a phone call and someone needed you to go. There was an emergency.
Or they wanted to look at 5 more houses that weren't planned.
That wasn't planned. And now my schedule, because it impacted me, I get very frustrated, and for a long time I was in the dark. What has saved my kind of going Bruce Banner into Hulk moments has been that Find a Friend app, whatever it's called, where now I can, like,
you can track me, and you're like, what are you doing at Marshall's?
Like, where is she at? What is going on? Oh, she's over at the Starbucks.
Yay.
But at least I can see where you're at, and then I don't have to, like, sit there and seethe and be angry and be like, what is she doing? Why is she like 3 hours late? At least I know that, like, you're heading home or whatever. So that has helped.
It's very stalkerish.
So, yes. Not going to apologize for using that app because it's kept me from wanting to completely lose it. But I want to – we had 3 questions that had come in. One of them kind of pertains to this topic, so I thought I would pull up the Q&A section. So one of the questions that somebody had asked on the Facebook thing, which was nice, and a couple other ones came in different directions. But the one was, how do we have fun? And I found that question so adorable because we never have fun. And if you couldn't tell by this conversation so far, I'm grumpy and moody and I work all the time and don't do anything to relax. Take it away, Jen. How do we have fun?
Okay. Before we get into my fun, you do have fun. You just, I don't know if you'd categorize it
fun
as
by
fun.
Myself.
I don't know if I would call you like a fun person. There's like,
it's fun for me. It's entertaining to me. But
like
not
you
anyone else.
Paint and you, what else do you do? Write music and
study science
and all that kind of stuff. You like to play poker with the guys, but that's so rare. You haven't done that in so long.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
In quarantine.
Yeah, right. So what do I do for fun? This is for those of you who know, like, personality assessment, I'm an Enneagram 7 Wing 6 and an ENFP on the Myers-Briggs. And I am always trying to make sure everybody else is having fun. So I don't... It's hard for me to think of what do I consider fun. As long as everyone's happy and having fun, that's fun for me. What do I do for fun, Ryan? Man, I sound boring.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I love anything where... like gatherings of friends, and it's kind of the who I'm with, not what I'm doing.
It's just the Settlers of Catan
stuff. Okay. I love like game night. We have friends over and we'll play like Catan, the game, and or different things, just hanging out and laughing. And
How did you pronounce it?
Catan.
Oh, they said Catane.
No, Catan. Like,
oh.
And And lately in quarantine, I mentioned it before, I downloaded that app and can play with friends. So that's my quarantine fun. I love when the weather gets hot enough to just lounge in the pool on a floaty. To me, that's so relaxing, and that's fun. I like going on walks with the girls while they're riding their bikes. Seeing them have fun brings me a lot of joy, just watching them giggle and be crazy.
This is starting to sound like a Tinder profile.
I know it is. I mean, if I were really like going to just be adventurous, I love skiing. That's fun, but how often do I get to actually go skiing, and especially not in quarantine?
Okay.
So there you are.
Question number two. I'm a buyer. I'm coming next week to buy something. What should I do? ? So with all the new developments, how does somebody buy something in this market?
Okay, well, this is actually a true scenario for me because I do have a buyer coming next week and we're trying to figure out what to do. And it's really good that the governor has made us essential because now I can help her find a home because she has to find one or she's going to be homeless. But they put a lot of restrictions. So they are saying that, let's see, what are all the guidelines? They're saying that if we're going to show someone a house, it has to be appointment only. It can't just be like we show up like even in a vacant home.
No open houses.
It can only be the agent and two other people in the house at a time, and you have to maintain 6-foot distance. They can't ride in your car with you, so they have to drive their own car. If the room or house or whatever you're looking at is too small to maintain a 6-foot distance, then people have to go in one at a time. We have to sanitize the lock boxes. We have to have the sellers or the seller's agent turn on all the lights, open all the doors and blinds so that we're not touching anything. We don't touch anything and ideally wear gloves. And if we're going to talk about the house after we leave the house, it should be done over the phone or FaceTime or Zoom. I mean, all these random things they put in place to try to, you know.
It's nice that they're saying that you guys are essential. The scary part is that it's also exposing you, like a cashier or any other essential service, is now you're dealing with the public. So, yes, it's great that, you know, title and escrow and all those different things can still move forward and you can sell homes and all that, but it does increase your chance of, you know, contact of.
And we've been really strict at our house. We haven't left and we haven't let our kids leave other than really necessary.
Like we've been to the store maybe twice in the last week and a half or 2 weeks maybe.
And also the written approval of the seller for all pre-marketing activities must be obtained by the listing agent. No third party can enter the property if they haven't agreed to the CDC guidelines, all of that stuff. And they're saying virtual tours if possible, like at all possible, and not to show homes in person to looky-loos and tire kickers. They need to be serious buyers. I know one broker, national, huge brokerage, they are having their agents have the buyers and sellers sign waivers saying that if they contract the virus because of the visit to the house, that they can't be sued. So there's a contract that they're having their buyers and sellers sign before they can even enter the house. So I've just never seen anything like this before. It's kind of crazy. So if you're coming next week and need to buy a house, you talk to your agent. If you don't have one, give me a call. We'll walk you through it. And what I'm going to do with my client next week is what we're going to narrow down the list of potential homes. I'm going to try to do a virtual tour of the homes, just me, to eliminate like mass exposure of more germs. It's just me instead of more people. And then out of those, because sometimes people say, oh my goodness, the picture didn't show that red wall. I would never buy a house with that red wall, or whatever it is. The video tour, the virtual tour can help with that, eliminate a lot of properties. And then we'll narrow it down to the ones that are the main contenders. Then I will meet my clients at the home. I will wear gloves. I will open the door, let them in, maintaining a distance. We won't touch anything. And then we'll figure out which home they want. And then the governor and all the rules, they're saying that everything should be done electronically if possible, which is very possible. I send e-signatures all the time so I can write up the contract, whatever. Once we've picked out the house we want, it's easy peasy. It's just picking out the house. So it's possible if you're coming next week or whenever during this quarantine and you want to find a house, totally possible. People are still buying and selling. It's crazy. It's slowed some, but it hasn't stopped altogether. So that's the good news. Hit me with another one, another question.
Last question, and then we can wrap it up, is... your husband has a rich baritone radio voice. Is he as handsome as his voice sounds? And I just want to say yes.
Yes, he is. Was that a legit?
That one came in through the internets. It did.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yes, he is as handsome as he sounds.
Thank you, Mom, for that question. Thank
you. He is as handsome as he sounds.
Yes. All right. So, any other updates, market news, anything about tips and tricks from working from home, or do you think we covered it all?
I mean, I'm sure we didn't cover it all. I'm positive. I think we just shared our experience. Can it be done? Yes. Do you feel like you're going to lose your mind at times? Yes, that's normal. Embrace it. And it's okay. Just try to, you know, we've been given the gift of time. A lot has been taken from us, but we've been given the gift of time. Many of us have with our families right now. And especially since our oldest son is going to the Navy and his ship date got pushed back a few months now because of this. We've really been given the gift of time with him because he was getting ready to leave the nest, probably to never return. And
if all else fails, there's always cocaine.
That's right.
Just to help take the edge off and give you a little energy boost.
Okay. For those who don't know that Ryan is very sarcastic, you didn't see the eye roll there. He is. So don't take that serious. Don't want any lawsuits or anything, but we've been given the gift of time and try to embrace it and know that some days you're going to be super efficient and other days you aren't, and it's okay. And it doesn't have to look the same every day. It doesn't have to be highly structured and highly scheduled out, because you will feel like a major disappointment if you try to do that, because it's not going to work most times. Just saying, just learn to relax and go with it. And I would say, as far as on the real estate side of things, don't stress about the market. Yes, it's slow, but it's going to rebound, and it should rebound quickly once all this is over. And with interest rates being low and people needing to sell, people needing to buy, I personally, as a realtor, I'm not stressed out, and I'm not anxious about the future of the market. I feel pretty confident once we get through this quarantine time and this pandemic season of life, we will rebound and go back to our strong economy that we had. So that's my positive outlook on it. There you have it.
And I haven't looked at the Google Calendar in a while, but I don't know. Am I making dinner or are you making dinner?
I think we could rock, paper, scissors.
Yay. Keeping it Let's fluid make the and kids. Relaxed.
Let's, why don't we have a teaching moment and have the kids learn to read a recipe.
Have you eaten their food?
True. We'll have taquitos if that's the case.
Monday night pizza.
Thank you guys so much for joining us on this episode. It's been fun, and I cannot wait. I have some great future guests lined up, and some exciting topics down the road here. So stay tuned, and thanks, Ryan, for joining me again today.
You got it. Anytime.
All right. Until next time, guys.